It got real heavy, and it got even more heavy. The more he prayed, the heavier it got. The more he prayed, the harder it was. The more he prayed, the more he felt the pressure of what he was about to face. Nobody in here can know you about to die and face it with a smile, huh? Nobody in here can know you about to go through some agony and some pain, that your skin is going to be ripped from your body. Your face is going to be beaten to the point that nobody will recognize you, and you're going sit there and say, I would have prayed and been all right. No, you wouldn't. Quit lying to yourself. You would have been just like him. You would have been under so much pressure. Look at this. His body had received so much stress because he was still human that he began to be in so much agony. Now, one scripture tells us in Matthew and Mark, it talks about how he was so under pressure that he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. What happened in the Garden of Gethsemane, and what need to happen in your garden when you pray, is that you need to die. Preach. Your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions need to die so that you can be able to go through what God has for you. And when you come out, you'll be like pure gold. Again, let me borrow Job. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. He said, when I'm tried, I shall come forth as pure gold, because I know my Redeemer lives. Do I have a witness in the house? Oh, yeah. When we look at his pain, when we look at the agony that he was going through, it said that he prayed more earnestly. In other words, the pain that kept gradually getting worse, the agony that kept gradually falling on him, he decided that I'm going to turn up my prayers. Anybody want to turn up with me today in prayer? We need to learn how to turn up our prayer. It ain't no time to back out of prayer. It ain't no time to say you can't pray. That's why your soul needs to die. Now, when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, or the place where the olive press, the olive that was being pressed at that moment was his soul. God pressed him. Why? Because when he pressed them, everything that was on the
we know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel, this is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II, preaching the uncompromised word of God. Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
I want you to understand something before we go into scriptures. I want to share five words that are some of the most offensive words that are perhaps spirit killers in the worship of the church, where the church, not the Christian, not the believer, but the church folk do not receive them. It is a word, each one individually, that is perhaps I'm gonna just get into it because it's not gonna be the same for everybody. Now let me say this on the other hand, for those who are believers and for those who are Christians and those who have a Bible and read it and know it for themselves, know that it is true. The word of God is true, holy, righteous. Amen. The Lord impressed upon my heart to start this new year off with these five words. And I was like, Lord, you know, I'd like to start off shouting. Yeah, but the Lord said, but that's not what I want to do. I want you to call my people to this word and adhere to it. So I'm going to just give you the first one, and we'll walk through the first five. Turn your Bible, if you will, to Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Chapter 3, verse 10. And I only want to lift out the first five, well, not even the first, the fifth word. Now let me say this to you, and then you may be seated. This one word has caused more people to not get the blessings of the Lord upon their lives because they would not adhere to this word. So that word is, let me just start, bring ye all the, here it is, tithe. You may be seated. Bring ye all the tithe. Now there are so many already said, Lord, here this go. Now we going down, but let me help somebody else in the house who want to be helped. It's important to recognize, my brothers and sisters, that this word is relevant to the work of God, for the undergirding of the work of God, for the saving of souls, for the meat in God's house, which means the resources in God's house. People don't recognize that it takes money to do ministry. You can't be on television for free, can't be on radio for free, can't feed the hungry for free, can't clothe the naked for free, can't do outside ministry and mission work for free. All of that requires money. Matter of fact, let me bring it home to you. You can't go to the dentist and get your teeth worked on for free. You can't go to the doctor and get yourself well for free. You can't buy medication for free. You can't buy a car for free. You can't get a loaf of bread for free. What makes you think you can do ministry for free? And yet it is for the believers, not the world. Not the world. We should not be out here selling chicken dinners and putting on shows and pageants and all of that for the purpose of raising money when God has already said how money is to be received in his house. Bring ye, you, all the tithe. And listen, there are benefits that go along with that. Let me just tell you about tithing, first of all. First of all, tithing is simple. Somebody say simple. Now you say, well, how is it simple, preacher? Well, first of all, the word tithe means a tenth. A tenth. Now, a tenth out of every dollar God blesses us to make, a tenth, 10 cents out of each dollar belongs to God. It belongs to God. It's his. Listen, so you need to know it's simple. You don't have to be an astrophysicist to figure out how much you owe God. And if you do it right, you take God's off the top. So you can't say, I can't afford to tithe when you do it properly, because that means his come first. Why? Because he comes first. All these amens are weak this morning, but I expected it. But listen at this. It is not only simple, it is also sacred. Well, how you know it's sacred? If you turn to Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30, it tells you that all of the different things that God blessed his people to be able to produce and to have, it says it all belongs to the Lord. It is holy unto him. Amen. Holy unto him. So it is sacred. It's simple and it's sacred. But third thing is, it's satisfying both to God and to those who do it. Here's what the Bible says. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, God gets so excited when you tithe and do what you're supposed to do that he gets excited and opens up the windows of heaven to do and increase you, blesses you, pour out more to you. But we don't have sense enough to even trust God or try him. And God, listen, has given us so much. Matter of fact, I want to throw this out to you. He has never asked you to tithe off of what you don't have. Somebody didn't catch that. And then listen. God is so faithful that if you desire to be a tither, he'll give you seed to sow. Now, that you can't get more fairer than that. And yet God blesses us, and we find every reason and excuse not to give God what he deserves. Well, let me move to another one. Maybe you might be a little more excited. Turn to John 3:16. John 3:16 and the ninth word. I'm going to see how sharp you are this morning. Find the ninth word in John 3:16 and say it for me. Say it again. I know you got your mask on, but I know you can talk a lot on that. Gave. God demonstrated how to give your best, how to give your only, and how to give your all, because he did it with his only begotten son. Gave. Listen to this. God makes clear that the motivator or the motivation of his giving was love. For God so loved the world that he gave. When you love, truly love, you are motivated to give of yourself. Give that's worth something to you. Give something that matters to you. And that was nothing that mattered more than his only begotten son. But he loved the world so much that he gave, demonstrating that if you truly love, that you must learn to give from the heart, from a place of love, place of love. So God showed us that he gave. He made the example clear. It doesn't get any clearer than that. All right, let me move to another one then. So we have now tithe. We have gave. Turn to Luke 6:38 and the first word only. Luke 6:38. And when you get there, I want you to shout it out loud. Boy, this is getting worse and worse. Give. God gave. And now Luke says we ought to give. We need to follow the example that God gave. And when we give, now look, we all love the other part that follows. and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Thank you, Jesus. Press down. Hallelujah. Shaking together and running. Oh, we want to run around the church then. But you don't understand. It doesn't start till you give. Give. And my brothers and sisters, we miss the greatest blessings that God wants to release in our lives because we're too stingy. We're too disobedient to give according to the word of God. Let me hurry up with the next word now. So now we've got tithe. We've got gave. God, you know, giving us the demonstration of how to do it, and he did it. And then now we have the admonishment to give. But the next word, matter of fact, the next two words are found in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 4. Verse 4. Hebrews 11, verse 4. Now, let me tell you why you ought to get ready to shout. Because the message is almost over. All right, the first word I want you to look at is the fourth word in that fourth verse. And what does it say? Offer. Offer. God didn't ask. The Bible says, by faith, Abel offered. Do you know, my brothers and sisters, doesn't it feel good when someone offers you something instead of you having to ask for it? You really feel good about the fact that they wanted you to have it because they offered you. You know, it's unfortunate that the people of God have to be begged to do. The Bible says, and this is very clear and real, you have not, come on, help me, Bible readers. You have not because you ask not. The people of God don't know how to give, and they don't know how to offer. But listen, I love the way it started off, by faith. In this book, or the 11th chapter of the Heroes of Faith, the first, isn't it strange that the first example is about giving? Now, that matters to God. That matters to God. And listen at this. By faith, Abel offered. That was what made it so touching. It was made it so real. Why? Because God didn't have to ask him. He offered to God. Now, let's go back to the 10th word, or go to the 10th word in that same verse. Let's start off from the beginning. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent, here it is, sacrifice. Sacrifice is a part, or should be a part, of the Christian life. Jesus Christ sacrificed his life. You wouldn't have life today if God wouldn't have sent his son, and his son wouldn't have sacrificed his life. And many of us find it difficult and basically undoable to sacrifice to God the things that belong to God. The government don't trust you. He takes his. Before you get yours, he got to hunt you down and run you down to collect it. And then he wants to lean, put a lien and levy and all that kind of stuff, because he said, I can't trust you. And how many of you know the government takes more than 10%? I wish the government would take just 10%. But no. God has already said in his word, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and the things unto God, the things that be for God. Why? Because We need to know priority and we need to know place. But listen to this again now. Because this word says, he offered and sacrificed a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Now, I want to share some things about this, because the first thing I want to say, and this is it, this is it. This 8 clause in this verse shows you how to give godly and graciously. Godly and graciously. But it also shows you in the same 8 clause how you also can give God less and grudgeful. The Bible teaches us that God doesn't want us to give, you know, grudgingly or of necessity, but he loveth what? Do you want folk giving you something with attitude? Now here, you want this? Boy, if I didn't need it, I should tell you what to do with it. But you hold your tongue and like, okay, thank you. But God is the same way. God don't want you giving him grudgefully and of necessity. He wants you to be cheerful, excited about giving to him. Why? Because everything you have comes from him. Nobody ought to have to prop you and prime you to give to God. You ought to be joyous in giving to God. Because here's what you need to know. It reveals that your giving is either God in righteousness and goodness, you know, is godly and gracious, or it's either godless and in what? Grudgeful. It's grudgeful. And God does not like that. Well, that's the same too. Abel gave godly and graciously, but Cain gave godlessly. And what? Grudgefully. Why? Because this reveals the reality of the relationship of your heart with God. If your heart is not the heart of God, if your heart is more carnal and worldly rather than godly and holy, you're not going to want to give to God. You've got other plans for that money. You've got other things you want to do, and it doesn't include promoting the kingdom of God. Think about what we could do for God's kingdom if we gave God his rightful share. But here's what y'all miss. When you don't give God his rightful share, he does not increase you the way he desires to increase you. Why? Because if he knows you're not doing what you're supposed to do with what you've got, why would he give you more? So we need to learn that part. Here's something else I need you to understand. You know, many commentators have said, well, we don't know how Abel's offering was more excellent. How did that become more excellent than Cain's? Well, here is what the word already, it's right there in Scripture. They must not have read the rest of the Scripture to find out how did God do that. Here's what you need to know. Cain gave grudgefully and of necessity. Now remember, neither one of them had to give anything. But because Cain got jealous of Abel's giving, he gave, but he didn't give his best. You see, Cain raised fruit, etc., right? But he gave God a lot of things that were overripe, that had bruises on it. He gave God some of the stuff he was going to wind up throwing away anyway, or having to sell at a reduced cost. And so he pretends like, God, here I am giving you this. God knew what was going on. Abel He took the best of his sheep. He was a shepherd, and he gave God the best because, listen, that was also symbolic of the Son of God, the Lamb of God. And he gave God nothing but his best. But there's a reason why, and that's the next part. It says, by which he obtained witness that he was, here it is, righteous. Righteous. Listen, you don't have to tell righteous folk to do right. I wish I had a helper. This might be the quietest sermon of the year, but I'm going to tell it to you because God has mandated that I tell it to you. Listen at this again. It is because he was righteous. Righteous. And what does that say? That your giving says more about the giver than the gifts. Say that again. Your giving says more about the giver than the gifts. That's you. God sees when you give what's in your heart. And if your heart is not right, you're not going to give right gifts. You know, when people say, oh, I love you, and it doesn't reflect. Listen, it starts in the head, goes to the heart, and it shows up in the hand. If you love me and you tell me that and you say, oh, from my heart I do, but nothing ever comes out your hand, well, that's cause for guessing. Because when you love, you're motivated to give. Motivated to give. Y'all remember, if you can go back that far, when you were in love. Don't get here holier than thou. Love is in the Bible. It's a good thing. I mean, you give your last trying to please that person, you know, show them that you truly love them. So they ain't have to ask you. You gave what you had, and even if you didn't have, you begged, borrowed, but didn't steal. You know, you got close, but you didn't. But here's my point. Love motivated you to give from your heart. From your heart. And so here it reveals your righteousness or unrighteousness. Now, here Abel was righteous, Cain was unrighteous.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's L-O-B-D-E-L-L Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
KAYT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9.
James Brodnick's Ministries presents the Master Key Program for disciplining your mind for good health, success, prosperity, and blessings. Apostle Brodnick's will teach you biblical principles and proven techniques right out of the Word of God that will establish you into abundant living. The Bible tells us that God gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. This ministry is designed to help you perfect your faith. Now, here is your host, Apostle Brotnecks.